So I was getting caught up on rest yesterday. I had big plans for the day after Christmas. I was going to get a little writing done, a lot of rest, do a little reading, catch up on some of those things that you can't do in the normal everyday grind of life. Did any of you have plans like that? Special plans to take advantage of something you don't normally get to take advantage of. That was my plans until my phone started ringing, my email started coming in, the text messages started dinging, and people were wanting help. They were wanting ways to reach out and respond to the tragedy of the tornadoes in our area. And you know what my initial reaction was? Why? Why can't I get a break? I just wanted to have a little peace and quiet. To get out of the routine. I had all these plans of what I wanted to get accomplished yesterday, and my plans just fell apart. I was interrupted. We don't like interruptions, do we? Interruptions are detours on our journey of life, or the things that we have planned, what we feel are best for us, are those that we love. We don't like interruptions. I remember in my very first pastorate, I've shared this story with some of you before. I had big plans for the church that I was called to pastor. I had this practice, this plan that I was going to implement. I had in it 8 P's of ministry that I would emphasize every week. I can't even name the P's now, but some of them were preaching, pastoring, providing. Don't know the rest of them. Pretty quick, those 8 P's got whittled down to 2 P's, pastoring and preaching. And my plans got upset again. I had this big vision. Don't organizational leaders tell us you got to have a mission? You got to have a vision. And certainly Scripture speaks to that. Without a vision, the people perish. And I got so frustrated in my pastorate, in my ministry. I remember lamenting to one of my mentors in ministry and sharing with him, "You know, Roy, I had all these plans of how to do ministry. And my plans keep getting interrupted. People will call. People have needs. I'm trying to do this in ministry, and my detours keep happening in my life. I keep getting interrupted." And finally, after he listened to me pour out my heart, he said, "Yeah, Jody, there was a time when I was really frustrated with the interruptions in my ministry. Until one day, I started to realize the interruptions were not the things that kept me from doing ministry. The interruptions were my ministry." You see, I reminded that story yesterday as I lamented the lost plans that I had. I had plans for revitalizing myself, resting, rejuvenating my soul, doing a little reading and writing, and a lot of resting. I was interrupted. But in the interruption, I found once again the ministry, the service of being the church. I found myself overjoyed as I received a call from a help organization, a volunteer organization that's coming into our area looking for a place to stay. I said, I'll have to check with my church session. You know, it took them about 5 minutes to make a decision. I sent out text messages and spoke with them, and they said, "Yes, let's do it." We had a meeting this morning and formally approved that action in our church. We'll be housing volunteer workers. You took it a step further. You said, "We got to help feed these people. They're serving our community. We need to serve them." Jennifer said, I'll be off of school this week. I don't mind being interrupted. Thank you, church, for being the church. For reminding me that the interruptions in life are oftentimes the ministry of life. You know, as we heard in our scripture today, I can't help but ponder the life story of Jesus, His birth, and Joseph, His adopted father here on earth, right? The interruptions that Joseph must have known, the plans that he had. Scripture tells us that he and Mary were engaged. And then Joseph gets the devastating news that Mary is with child and not his child. Imagine the shame that he faced, the humility that Joseph had to embrace, the willingness to not let his pride get before his ministry. His plans were interrupted. And then you consider this journey of Scripture today where the writer Luke tells us that Jesus and His family had gone to Jerusalem. They'd gone for the Passover. You know, this isn't just like a simple trip to Memphis in the car, or even a travel down to Jackson, or up to Knoxville. This was a 3 to 5 day journey, depending on how fast you could walk, right? The 50-mile trek from Galilee down to Jerusalem. They were intentional in letting their life be interrupted so that they could go to church. Or in other words, be the church. See, there's a difference, isn't there, in going to church and doing church. In believing in the church and being the church. Joseph and Mary was willing for their life to be interrupted, but listen, as Luke takes us through this narrative, what happens? They find themselves a day away from Jerusalem, journeying back home, right? Haven't we all been there? You've been on vacation? You've been with those smelly fish, or they've been in your house as long as you can stand? You're ready to get back on your way? Isn't that what they say about company? They're like fish. After a few days, they get a little stinky. You're ready for them to move along. Joseph and Mary, they were ready to return. They'd gotten on the road. They find themselves a day's journey out of Jerusalem. They look with Jesus, who they thought was traveling with some of their relatives. He's nowhere to be found, so what do? They make the dreaded turnaround, head back to Jerusalem. But then the Scripture tells us, did you hear it? The Scripture says they look for Him for 3 days before they found Him. So if my math's right, that put Joseph and Mary some 5 days behind schedule. 5 days. My goodness, I get out of whack if I'm 5 minutes off schedule. They were interrupted by Jesus. Joseph, once again, found his plans turned upside down by Jesus, the one who he had not even fathered. You know, I think Joseph gives us a model of how to handle interruptions, challenges. When our plans get turned upside down, it challenges me to consider, am I considering my plans more holy than the one I'm called to serve? Wow. I find it convicting at times. Are they my plans? Or are they God's plans? are the interruptions that frustrate me so much opportunities for God to perform ministry in our world. Joseph seems to model the right response. When the Scripture tells us, did you hear what Jesus' response was, what He did after Joseph and Mary found Him? The Scripture tells us that Jesus returned with them. He left the temple. He left His Father's house. He went back with His earthly mother and father and was obedient to them and continued to grow under their tutelage, under their parenting, under their love. You see, I think there's a message there that Luke doesn't spell out exactly with every detail, because if Joseph had been unwilling to embrace the interruptions of Jesus, I can't believe that Jesus would have embraced His earthly fatherly leadership. I'm not sure He would have been obedient. He would have been so quick to return with Joseph and let him nurture him in the family and love. Joseph teaches us how to embrace interruptions and changes in our plans. You know, I think the reading that Robert shared with us, Paul's writing to the church in Colossae, is a great example, a reminder to us that even in our interruptions, like Paul, to look for the good, even in the bad, to believe and embrace this Scripture that tells us, that proclaims, church, that God works for good in everything. Friends, I believe that Scripture more now than ever in my life. If we'll open our eyes, no matter what we face, no matter what interruptions come to us, no matter what storms tear through our community or through our families, if we will seek and surrender and say, God, help me to see what good You can transform out of this bad. You see, Paul, remember his story, what he was doing? He had plans to evangelize the world. He was a missionary. He was sent out to spread the gospel, right? Don't you know he had mission? He had a vision. He had plans of how to put it together, right? Paul was out reaching the world. And then in the midst of his travels, in the midst of his ministry, he was imprisoned and jailed in Rome. And that is where he wrote this text, the Colossians reading that we shared. You know what? It would have been tempting for Paul to wallow in himself like I did for a bit yesterday and to say, oh, my plans have been turned upside down. Woe is me. I've been interrupted. Woe is me. It's not fair. In the midst of that, Paul surrendered to God and said, God, what can You work for good in the midst of this bad? Maybe I can't get out and walk down the road and evangelize, but I have a quill. I can write. God, transform this imprisonment to the holy words of Scripture that we heard today in worship. Because Paul surrendered to the interruptions of life. He responded with faith to not just preach about the church, but to be the church. Friends, I said earlier this morning that I find myself as your pastor continually enamored and inspired by your ministry. I find myself following so often more than leading this congregation. I think I have a good idea about how we can minister, and you're already a step ahead of me. Loving, serving, caring, being the church. Not just coming into my Father's house, as Luke says here today, but this, listen, church, not just going into our Father's house, but taking our Father's house out there, into the world, to show His love, to be His hands, His feet, to a world in need. See, I received those calls yesterday because I am the pastor of this church. Isn't it interesting that when our world finds itself in unrest, when it's upside down and devastation strikes, the people in need know to whom they need to turn, right? They turn to the same place that Jesus found Himself, that He must be in His Father's house. The world in need is looking to us, church. And thanks be to God, You inspire me with Your willingness to respond, to embrace the interruptions in your life, and to be the church to God's people, that He may be glorified in our community, in our world, through our lives, now and forever. Amen.